Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters. We hope that you have enjoyed Snowmageddon. Again, we're recording it on Wednesday. It's fun when you stay home and have nothing else to do. But again, hope that everybody is safe and everybody is keeping warm through this. And I just want to give a special thank you to the public works folks that have tried to clear the roads or keep everything going, and the folks who in the electric company and everybody, and for those of you with frozen pipes still,
hang in there. They're going to thaw.
Hang in there. Yes, they will thaw sometime. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
John Chittick.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Well, we're missing Pat. We're missing Alan. They're both around. But Pat has that frozen pipe problem. Yes.
And we hope Alan will be well by next week.
Okay. So, John, we have a special guest today, John Chittick, and you want to introduce yourself, please. And
John Chittick, I am the mayor of Bridgeton, a big town on the other side of the Neuse River. I have also been a commissioner for the town of Bridgeton, and I am now running for the District 1 County Commissioner for Craven County.
Very good. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but I know that once upon a time the river froze over and you could walk from Bridgeton to
that would be before my time.
Part of it has frozen over recently.
Some edges, yeah.
Some edges.
But don't try to walk across.
Don't try to walk across. No.
How long have you been mayor of Bridgeton?
Just about 3 years.
Okay. And Bridgeton is part of the district, of course, that you're running for commissioner in. What do you see as the problems that you want to solve as a commissioner versus the problems you solved as mayor?
I don't generally talk about the problems at the county level because I think the conservative commissioners have done a wonderful job of turning the county around from when the Democrats were in charge. So I would say my number one goal is to maintain what Tom Mark has done.
And Tom did a wonderful job.
Tom, if I'm half of what Tom was, I will be a good commissioner. He was wonderful.
Yeah. Very good.
So maybe just give a little bio and what you think people should hear, and then we can interject some questions to help, bring out what you're about.
Well, when I became commissioner of Bridgeton, I asked a lot of financial fiscal questions of the town. Why are we spending it here? Why are we spending it there? I did it for, I think it was 8 years, and Tom Mark actually came to me and asked me if I was, one day would be interested in running for county commissioner because I've since learned that he became quite famous in asking questions as well.
Yes.
It's like, why are we doing this? And too many times you hear the answer, well, we've always done it this way. I don't care whether we've always done it this way or not. Why are we doing it? And in so doing, while commissioner, we refinanced the sewer plant because I asked the question, why are we paying such abnormal, huge interest rates when interest rates are so low on a $500,000 loan on a sewer plant? And on top of that, why do we have the loan to begin with? Why are we not paying it off? So we refinanced it and we paid it off 5 years early. And so the town is now debt free. And then, same thing, when I became mayor, I found out that we were taking money from our general fund every year to maintain the sewer plant, which we are not allowed to do.
So it wasn't a line item to say, steal from Peter to pay Paul.
No. Right. And so we quickly adjusted things so that the sewer plant was self-sustaining. So that's kind of... I kind of feel like I go about it the same way Tom Mark does. It's like, look at that line. Does it make sense? If it doesn't, ask questions.
Now, I had worked for a defense contractor, and when we were doing some of the budget things within the company, and you were asking something, what is the cost driver? Why am I paying this? And you'd find somebody requested, just like you said, well, we've always done that. So once we said, well, we've always done that, then you get to pay for it. And then they said, oh, well, we don't need it. So understanding your simple questions about where is the cost coming from, and you know how do we assign them properly?
Right, yeah. And you have to ask those questions continuously because government will inevitably continuously grow. The amount of spending will always go up, so you always have to, you know, ask what is necessary. You've got people wanting to add this program, add that building. Sometimes it's not always necessary. Or if you add a program, sometimes you need to cut a program that just never gets cut.
Never gets cut, that's right.
How did you wind up in Bridgeton?
I originally grew up in Maine.
Yeah.
Went to college out in Reno, Nevada. And received a job offer to come here to North Carolina. Lots of side stories, but that's how I ended up. I came here first in 96 and brought on all the hurricanes, you know, the Fran, the Bertha, the Dennis, the Floyd. Been here for all of them.
Yeah, so, yeah, the hurricanes, we did the hurricanes in New England, but it's a little different down here, so.
Yeah, a little more direct. Yeah.
A little more direct, yes.
When we look at county government, one of the things that I've always had a problem with is the federal grants and the cost when the federal money runs out and the county is committed to the program, i.e. Common Core. I am more of a cost-benefit analysis kind of a person. Where do you lie on that?
I think a perfect example of that would be, you know, people wanting, let's say, a new pool for a county. That's great. You know, it costs $8 million to build the pool. Well, first of all, don't borrow the money up front. You want a pool, start putting some money aside. That way you can pay cash. And second of all, that's not the only cost in a pool. There's the maintenance. There's the operational. There, too many times I see it in Bridgeton periodically, small town, so nowhere near to the degree. Somebody wants to do something, but nobody asks the question, okay, what's it going to cost us long term? I'm always asking that question. What is my long term cost? I almost don't even care what the short term cost is, because it's a long term cost that's going to kill you. You take out a loan, let's say for Bridgeton. If we took out a multi-million-dollar loan to redo the sewer plant, I am committing the citizens of Bridgeton for the next 20 years to this annual payment. That's not a small commitment that I am forcing them to do. And so, you know, you take on a government program, okay, when the program ends, who does that fall on? Oh, back on us? I'm not going to be too prone on committing the citizens to that unless the citizens want that. I mean, if that's different. If that's what they want, that's what they want. But they're going to have to put somebody in there that's willing to commit them to it.
Too many times we fall into the government grant. Recently, it was the COVID money in education in Craven County when we hired social workers and teachers using COVID money, and then the money's gone, and the education budget is in a deficit now. You know, why can't they be foresightful enough to see that what's going to happen in the future? That's been my issue from the beginning. It seems like there's never been a federal grant that the commission hasn't been grateful for. And yes, in most cases, you can rationalize it, but in some cases, you can't.
Of course, all that is school board related, not county commissioners.
Well,
it's the same principle.
But the county does make decisions and do seek grants that do cost money long term, and maybe they do the analysis, maybe they don't, but I'm in the camp of I'd rather not seek any federal grants.
To argue that point, Glenn, the school board and the school did go to the commissioners and ask for more money because they were in a budget deficit. So there are other implications.
Well, I think the example you brought up just as in theory. Okay, we have this grant, and we can put in a swimming pool. Well, a swimming pool requires maintenance, and that maintenance happens every year. And 10 or 15 years down the road, certain parts of the swimming pool have to be replaced. And that's more money. And, you know, and also grant money is nothing more than our money going to Washington and then them graciously giving it back to us.
Part of cents on the
only
dollar.
Part of it, yeah.
Maybe.
The other thing that always I will always ask, I've asked in meetings multiple times, it's like, you want to spend X amount of money. Isn't this issue already being taken care of by another program? Why spend the double money? You know, there's too many times that we, you know, specifically the federal gets really bad, but it can happen at the local level where you're solving the same problem from two, maybe even three different directions, which can be good, I guess, in some situations, but it also can be wasteful in the financial aspect.
I think one of the quirks that I found out not too long ago is that the county itself does not own any roads as such. Towns own roads, state owns roads, and private roads are also there. But the county itself doesn't own roads, even though the county gets yelled at. Why doesn't this road have blah, blah, blah? Why don't they have lights on every street or wherever else?
And Mark was wonderful in that category. This is where Mark developed a very good relationship with the Department of Transportation and was able to get some things changed in his district to make things better.
Yes.
So who owns the road?
State. Or
state,
city.
State or city.
But the county maintains them?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, and that was a big surprise to me.
That is a surprise because this county is so big and you just wonder. I mean, that's a lot of road for the state to take care of.
And it doesn't just count the road. It counts the drainage from the road. So if somebody's got a ditch problem beside a road, a lot of times they'll go to the county when, you know, technically, that's all part of the deal.
And because of the soil in this area, you've got culverts on the side of every road. Mm-hmm. So that could get very interesting.
And we have a large area in your district, in the district you're running for, goes all the way Vanceboro down through Fairfield Harbor, I guess?
It's a very large district.
Yeah. Do you know how many square miles?
Oh, heavens no.
No?
A lot of miles on the car.
A lot of miles on the car. Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. By the way, we CCTA is a 501c3 organization. We do have a candidate, John, on right now, but we are not able to endorse candidates. We're allowed to bring candidates on. We'll have them speak as much as they want, and we'll invite other candidates. But again, as a 501c3, we will not endorse candidates as an organization. Mary, you're going to go on with some questions.
I just have, what are some of the things that are unique to your the district that you're running for as a county commissioner?
Unique to the district. I would say, unlike some of the other districts, we have more of a range of, you know, there is not agricultural issues in all the other districts. Not all the other districts have, i.e., planned communities such as Fairfield Harbor or other small communities within their small cities such as Bridgeton. So I would say District 1, more than any other, has a more diverse group of needs than any of the other individual districts by themselves. Vanceboro, while population-wise is very similar to Bridgeton, they are much larger geographically. So they're dealing with a few different issues than we are in Bridgeton, per se. You know, Fairfield Harbor has their own water. We've got water in the county. Bridgeton has their own sewer plant. There's a lot of individual municipality actions that happen within District 1.
And Vanceboro has its own, like, downtown commercial street, which is unique.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very nice downtown. Vanceboro, for the size of the town. Like to say Bridgeton has one, but we got two commercial buildings in the middle of town, vacant, not really doing anything.
Yeah, so but you have the ABC distribution center.
Oh, we do have ABC on the main thoroughfare. Yes, that we do, and it is a beautiful store.
Yes, it is.
If you haven't been there, that you definitely worth seeing.
You're in a primary with two other candidates.
Yes.
What are the things that distinguish you from those two candidates?
The primary thing that would distinguish me from the other two candidates is I have the experience of some municipal government work. When I first became a commissioner for Bridgeton, I came in with high hopes of getting all these things done and soon learned that things move at the pace of government, which is not just slow, it's painfully slow. And you just simply cannot get the things done in the timely manner that you would expect. Like I've owned my own business for 20 years. When I needed something done, I made the decision to do it, and it was done. That's not how it works.
With no public hearing?
No public hearing.
No posting for the hearing?
You know, people mad because you made this decision instead of that one. And, you know, yeah, there's in the government situation, it almost doesn't matter what decision you make. Somebody's going to get mad. You made the wrong decision. But that's probably the biggest thing, is just the mere fact that I have that experience of some governmental
action. It seems like, listening to you and just from what I know, that what we really need in our all levels of government is people with the experience of running a business who understand how government works, but also understand how to get things done. We need that combination.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's where President Trump is made quite a difference.
Yeah, that's where we kind of go. Trump asked the when Ian, just like I did, no, I will not put myself in a comparison with Trump, but Trump went in and asked a bunch of questions, and the bureaucracy is telling him, well, we've done it this way for 30 years. He does not care. and I certainly have gotten motivation from him to ask, you know, even more boldly than I would otherwise, I don't care how we've done it this long. What do we need to do, and how do we get it done?
How do we fix it?
Yeah.
And how do we modify the regulations to get it so it's more streamlined?
Yeah.
Again, looking at your district, you go all the way from Pitt County and from Pamlico County, and I'm not sure how far west, because you go almost to Aden, right?
Well, it pretty much stops at the river, Neuse River.
Yeah.
There is another part of the rural area of Vanceboro. You know, you're talking Dover and them. They're in another district, but a good portion
Commissioner
of
Commissioner Jones, yeah.
Yeah, Commissioner Jones, who also does a wonderful job. He has a different, some of that rural area.
But it's a huge district.
It is the biggest district. Yes, it is.
Yes, as we go up to anytime we go up to visit kids up in the Northeast, we go up 17, and yes, it's forever before you get out of Craven County into Beaufort. Yeah,
yeah, I've learned quite a bit geographically driving around the side towns trying to find where the county ends, and so I've learned more of my way around.
Yeah, it's. It's an interesting district. I mentioned we have some friends there that live right on the river, and Donnie, when he's been there and the wind has blown the wrong way, yes, he gets flooded out when the wind's blowing the right way, and the river sort of pulls out, and he sees some bricks or tires out in that area, and he's walked out into the river to get them. All he's done is lift a pair of boots out there and came back without the boots that he went
Make
out.
Make sure you mention his Christmas lights that he puts on.
Donnie's Christmas lights.
I'm assuming you've seen his Christmas lights.
Yeah, yes.
Very much so.
They're unbelievable.
I think he starts in July. I'm not quite sure.
I think as the retired oral surgeon, he bought the bucket truck as his stress reliever.
Yes.
Yes.
And no one else can touch it.
I think there were upwards of 50,000 lights this year.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Compliments to him.
Do the county commissioners have a kind of a line by line veto on the budget? Are they the ones that are actually responsible for every line?
Actually, you've caught me off on guard on that one. I don't specifically know I don't want to speak to that, but I believe so.
Yeah. And the county manager is the one that gives them.
He's the administrator,
direction.
But they have the power.
They have the power, yeah.
Of what's in and what's out.
And I would say, yes, we do have a good set of county commissioners.
I think they've done a good job.
Oh, they're awesome. Mm-hmm. The chairman. On down, they've done a wonderful
and
job.
And the county, if I'm not mistaken, the county commissioners were the ones that cleaned up the animal shelter thing. Were they not? Was that?
Yes.
Correct.
We had a block of folks that went in there to try to get their attention, and it really
worked
out.
Because that's been cleaned up beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something that they have done very well.
Well, that's I think that plays a good example of sometimes these politicians try to do too many things a little at a time, as opposed to, okay, we're not going to do those five. We're going to do these two and get it done. Now, next year, let's grab another two of those five mm-hmm. and get them done instead of, you know, giving a little bit to each of those five problems and they never get solved.
And part of that, I believe, was a result of public pressure.
Absolutely.
Because people started showing up at the county commissioners' meetings and speaking on the issue of the shelter problems and everything else. So I think part of that was public pressure.
Well, the county commissioners, as well as any government official, needs the public pressure. It's absolutely vital that they get public pressure, because you cannot, as a public official, know about everything that's going on at any given time. It's not possible for you to know. I get citizens that inform me about things that are happening in Bridgeton that I didn't know about. And, you learn, and now it's like, okay, let's start seeing what we can do to address it.
Yeah.
And county is even going to be even more so.
And to your point, you not only have to give negative pressure to them, but you have to give positive pressure to
Absolutely.
Them also. You've got to let them know the sense of what's going on out there.
Well, that one's going to be hard to get the citizens to do, because what a lot of people don't understand is when public officials do something, the only phone calls you ever get are complaining about what you did.
And that's sad because, as I said, the county commissioners did such a good job with the problems with the animal shelter and that whole thing. They need to be commended for that.
Yes, they do.
Because that turnaround was amazing.
I think they've also done a good job with our taxes and keeping our property taxes in line with the last couple of years, with readjusting budget lines so that our taxes wouldn't be so negatively impacted.
Yes. Somebody, one of the neighboring counties, I don't remember which one it was, somebody told me their taxes went up like 20% or something. That's outrageous.
I wish they could do something about homeowners insurance, but.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other animal.
But I think the big thing on that is, they do have a strategy of growth, too. And so what you end up doing, both business growth, and obviously that brings in houses, and that broadens the base, and business and residential. And so I think that's a big reason. If we were stagnant in growth, then you probably wouldn't be in the same place with steady, don't increase the tax multiplier.
And there's also the issue, though, when you bring in more houses and more people, you bring in more demands on the infrastructure.
That's right.
And one of the things we're seeing right now in New Bern is there is a development going in. It's a retirement community. And the agreement is that they're not going to pay property taxes. Well, why aren't they paying property taxes? Because they're not going to use the schools. They're not going to require a lot of police or anything else activity. And their drain on public services is going to be very different than a non-retirement community. However, the thing that should be considered, their drain on the water and the sewage is going to be the same.
And electric.
Yeah, but they'll pay. Yeah. You pay for water and
but,
sewer.
So what you bring in or what comes into your city in terms of the demographics can make a difference in what you need as resources.
And that's an interesting, I'd heard that before, and I don't know where I land on that. My first idea is if we start cafeterian, all this stuff, that gets ugly fast.
Yes.
Hey, if you want to live there, you pay taxes.
Well, it's a church.
That's a perspective.
It's a church-sponsored development.
Yeah, so
of course,
that's part of it.
I mean, and I love churches, but yeah. That's an angle. That's a method.
Okay. Yes.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pawn will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pawn. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pawn, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you want to take us in a totally different direction right now.
Absolutely. One of the things going on right now is Congress is debating the SAVE Act. And most Americans support voter identification. The SAVE Act requires voter ID at the place of voting, and it requires proof of citizenship when you register to vote. And it's passed the House, and from what I'm reading on X, it has 50 votes in the Senate, which means if you didn't have the filibuster and you had J.D. Vance, you could pass it. But John Thune is kind of shuffling his feet a little bit and not pushing it. And for whatever reason, the Republicans are reluctant to end the filibuster, despite the fact that understanding if the Democrats take the Senate, they will end the filibuster, so we might as well do it now. And
now, why would we need something like the SAVE Act?
Well,
what is it, a motor voter?
I don't know whether it's motor voter or what, but when Judicial Watch and other organizations have gone into the voter rolls of some of our states, they found thousands of voters that had no business being registered because they weren't citizens. And my fear is President Trump received a majority of the votes. People voted for him because they wanted his agenda. Congress has not been very good about pursuing his agenda. He's done things through executive action, and they have codified very few of them.
Can you say deep state?
Yes. I mean, they did get through the big, beautiful bill, and that was important. But if Congress does not get off its duff and do what it has been elected to do, if the Republicans don't start acting like Republicans, you can expect the Democrats to take Congress in the midterms. And if they do that, we are going to see impeachment proceedings every week, and nothing is going to get done, and the economy is going to wind up stagnating because you will not have any positive economic things. You will just tie everything up in a stalemate. So I really think that we need to end the filibuster and pass this thing and have an honest election.
I would like to have at least one Republican that is against the SAVE Act to tell us why. Give us one reason that the SAVE Act isn't valid.
Well, the Republicans in the Senate are supporting it. It's just that Thune has not gotten it to the floor.
Well, this is the best example I can remember in ages, maybe ever, about the demographics lining up no matter how you cut it. By age, by race, by party, they're all 70 plus. And I mean, so
needing, wanting
it's 70, almost 80 plus. So this is loud and clear. We the people want it. And I really do struggle with why it's being held up. But hopefully the writing's on the wall and it'll get passed.
Well, and the question is, who do our representatives represent?
The people deal.
Roll the clock back just a little bit. I mean, the FBI is now looking at Fulton County, Georgia, and gotten and taken many of the records from the Board of Elections. Does that have anything to do with the SAVE Act? You better believe it.
Well, not only that, but in the taking of the records in Fulton County, somehow the tapes that show that the voting machines all started at zero are missing. They can't find them. Now, it seems to me that that would be kind of a basic thing, because they were subpoenaed before the deadline for destroying them ran out. So they were not legally able to be destroyed if they were. But as of yesterday, they were missing.
Well, that zero tape, that's just a fundamental part of the process.
You need that. You were going to say something?
I find it absolutely amazing that the Democratic Party argues that there is a group of people or groups of people that are too stupid, too poor, and too incompetent to get an ID. How offensive that is, and why people aren't up in arms going, how dare you tell me I am too incompetent, too poor, or too stupid to figure out how to get an ID. People should be absolutely furious at them.
Yeah, because the poor part's been removed. I mean, there's plenty of free ID.
Well, you can't cash a check, open a bank account, get on an airplane, or anything without an ID.
In Craven County, you can go down to the Board of Elections and get a free ID.
That's what I say. The cost, the poor part, isn't even a factor anymore.
But well, they're too poor to get a ride there. That's what I've heard them say.
But they managed to get a ride to vote.
But you can't function in today's society without an ID, can you?
No.
And I will tell you a story about my driver's license. When I had my driver's license picture taken in North Carolina, the woman looked at it and she says, "This is a horrible picture. Do you want me to take another one?" And I said, "No, it's my driver's license picture. It's supposed to look like that."
No comment.
Oh, that's good.
Now, you wanted to say something about that.
Well, I noticed that part of this, we're switching hats, going sort of to Iran or dealing with Iran itself, and looked at something called THAAD. They're moving in a THAAD system into the area near Iran. Now we have the Patriot missiles, which are within interspace missiles that can take out offensive missiles. And THAAD is the theater high altitude air defense that'll take them out in outer space. So it's a long range missile that goes up that I'm going to destroy your little missile. My little missile is going to take care of your little missile. And having worked on the THAAD system and having worked on the MX missile.
Will that be part of the Space Force?
I don't know who is going to. Probably Space Force is going to run it. I think the interesting thing with Space Force is we have not heard a lot about Space Force. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
One of the things about that's going on with Iran, and I'm just looking at an article just updated, oddly enough, from Axios, which I don't normally read, but the Iran-U.S. nuclear talks on Friday are back on after several Middle Eastern leaders lobbied the Trump administration because the Middle East doesn't want us to attack Iran because they're afraid that it will create chaos in the area. And my comment on that is, isn't Iran creating enough chaos in the area?
And we know the president is trying to do things through negotiation, not wherever possible.
But Iran has not responded to economic pressure the way some of the other countries he's put it on have.
Well, they're broke.
Well, Iran's alliances with other countries that are not our friends is of concern to me. China, Russia.
Qatar is the big one, because we're trying to be nice to Qatar, and they are thick as thieves with Iran. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
While we're in this area, I'll just say the India negotiations, which is, you know, moving oil supplies around. It's disrupting money going to Russia with those changes. I mean, that to me is a big movement here lately.
Because that oil money is funding the war in
Venezuela.
And it's funding the war in Ukraine.
Right.
So if we can cut out that, we may be able to find peace through economic pressure, which is what Trump is very good at.
And that's just recently happened, and very little in the news about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, tariffs was the first move.
Yes.
Moving tariffs from 25 to 18% with India, and that whole thing came together. So that's a big deal.
Trump knows how to use economic pressure rather than military pressure. And I think that is a very good thing.
Strong arming, yes.
Yes.
And why would the legacy media write anything good about Trump?
That's a good point. Good point.
You know, John, to that point, the newest movie to come out, I think, documentary, Melania, the movie Melania, that from a viewer perspective, it's got like a 75 or 80% recommendation or even more. From the media critics, it's got like a 6% positive. That's how far away from reality the media is.
Yeah.
It still hasn't hit home for some of them.
And no, it has not. That's right.
Well, the media is out of touch with America. They're tone deaf. And our Congress is out of touch with America. Most of them, not all of them, are tone deaf. And that's, for a representative government, that's not a good thing. They're supposed to be listening to us.
Well, I think a lot of that goes back to why I think term limits is a good idea, is because you've got people who have been there so long, they're bought and paid for, and there's very little difference between the ideologies of the Rhino Republicans and the Progressive Democrats. And the government has gotten to the point where they don't want to see anybody fail, too big to fail. And that's why I worry about California and New York, because if they don't fail, it's going to be encouragement to places like Minnesota.
But if you put term limits on the congressmen, you've also got to put term limits on the bureaucrats, because the bureaucrats are as much of a problem as the congressmen.
Agreed.
You can change the congressman, but if you don't change the bureaucrats, you've got the same mess.
I'd make their terms, the bureaucrats' terms, shorter.
First thing I would do is make every legislative bill no more than 4 pages long, double spaced.
And dealing with one issue.
Double-spaced, yeah.
And dealing with one issue.
Well, I think the CCTA doing the Constitution 101, or whatever we're calling it, has been very enlightening as far as what the original intent was of all of these powers and where we are.
And I think the other study that we did on the 5,000-year leap was amazing. We need to do that one again. And we did a 2-week study on the Federal Reserve. And again, we need to go back and do that one again, because a lot of people don't understand exactly what that is, that it is not federal, it is not a reserve, and it's a mess.
But it is a banking system that was authorized by Congress. So, yes, it is a mess.
And it is constitutional.
It is constitutional, as much as we may not like it.
But I will put a plug for Wall Builders in that group. And Constitution Alive program,
yes.
Biblical Citizenship. Man, check it out.
Yes.
I don't get any money for promoting it, but check it out.
I agree.
Very good. Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
It's Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Glad you could stay with us. We're going to go off into Mary. What did you want to?
There is a detransitioner who won a $2 million medical malpractice verdict. And I believe that is only the beginning.
And that was a person that as a teenager was advised to
yes.
to consider transitioning, and the parents were talked into transitioning.
Yeah, they were told that if you don't transition your child, they will commit suicide.
And what state is this in?
I don't know what state it's in, but that's a lie that a number of parents have been told. And as a result of that, the first major medical group has come out to oppose gender transition surgeries for youth. Now, a lot of the gender transition surgery is irreversible. They cannot change their mind when they're 20 and they realize that they made a mistake. It's not, no. And one of the reasons that some of the medical profession, who is maybe not paying total attention to the oath they took, is willing to do this is because once you transition a teenager, they are your patient for life. Because you've got to continue to inject the hormones in them because the body keeps trying to go back to where it started. So you're constantly fighting a chemical war within that person. And the part of that that really disturbs me is you're combining testosterone with PMS. And I think that's a really bad combination.
I take your word for it.
And by the way, the medical group you were talking about was the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. So,
okay,
yes,
that's good.
But you know, Chloe Cole, who's been a very vocal yes. activist, and she's been in Craven County before, she has a thing on Facebook right now, which is one of her testimonies, and she had older brothers, and she says that her childish misgivings were because she wanted to be like her brothers,
yeah,
not that she was really thinking different. She just wanted to be accepted and acknowledged, and then it was the medical profession convincing her parents
yes, that she'd
that
be happy.
She was either they transitioned or she would kill herself. And she says she was never suicidal.
Yeah.
And so she's also very, very vocal, and she's been to Congress and testified before. And I would
yes.
encourage you to YouTube or look her up if you think that. Transgender is healthy for anybody.
She was on One America News last night. Mm. Now, this program we're recording on Wednesday, but it's going to be broadcast Saturday and Sunday. I just want to ask, is there anyone here who's planning on watching the alternative Super Bowl halftime show?
Well, if we can find it.
TBN.
Okay.
Yeah, Trinity Broadcast, yes.
I am not going to watch Bad Bunny.
No, we're not.
I don't need to. And I think the alternative halftime show sounds like a really good thing.
I will definitely be participating in that, yes.
Particularly, yeah. Now, and I will admit I'm not a fan of country music, but I'm going to watch it anyway.
Oh, I love country music.
Lose your truck, you lose your dog.
Yeah, but with self-driving trucks, and now you can play the thing backwards, and your truck comes back.
Now the question is, all through the Super Bowl, there's a number of sponsors that continue to sponsor, even though they have I'm going to say an objectionable halftime presentation. What do we need to tell those sponsors? Do we need to yell? I mean, if you look at what happened to Light Beer. When they had an objectionable ad or an objectionable ad series, Light Beer took quite a hit. Mm-hmm. What do we need to do?
I'm generally opposed to coming out publicly and staying boycott, because there are a lot of people that will lose their jobs because of that. And I'm more concerned about them as individuals. But on a personal note, I do make a decision as to what I purchase, and enough people doing so does get people's attention in the wallet. And that's going to get people's attention more than anything is the wallet.
And I do agree with you. And I've done it a number of times. Write a letter to the CEO of a company, to the chairman of their board, and say, I objected to your ad on, you know, your having an ad on blah, blah, blah show, whatever else. Now, does it generally make a big change to them? No, but it's something that they know and hear, and they will respond.
Yeah, one of the things when Chloe Cole was here local that she talked about was affirming and this transition, affirming and. And she said the gateway to affirmation starts with something as simple as pronouns and people letting people think they can choose their own pronouns. And that's a first gateway into having more control over something that just is not biologically accurate.
And to go along with biologically accurate, I think we should all agree that a transition can also be from childhood to puberty. You are transitioning from a child to an adult, and they should let these children go through puberty before they tell them that they're the wrong sex.
And as much as, I don't take it out of context, but as much as I think when you saw a child coming into their teenage years, there's certain times that you just wanted to lock them in a closet. don't take it wrong.
Says the father of three daughters.
Father of three daughters, that's right.
Father of three sons, there were those days.
There were those days, you're right.
My three sons.
Okay, Mary, we're going to go into the...
We're going to talk about the movie Melania. And the interesting... I haven't seen the movie, so I'm not going to comment on it. But something like 80% or 90% of the people who've seen it have raved about it. Yeah. The media gave it five Rotten Tomatoes or something.
No. The Rotten Tomatoes is 99 Rotten, which is a great rating, a really, really high rating. The media has only given it a 6% approval. Rotten Tomatoes is actually pretty accurate.
Now, is that... So, Rotten Tomatoes is not a bad thing?
Rotten Tomatoes is not a bad thing.
It's an assessment.
Yeah.
But that's a positive assessment?
It's a positive assessment, yeah.
That's the group. It's kind of like the name of the people that do the work that give the ratings.
Okay.
That's just their name. But it's not indicative of
the quality of the movie.
Something.
But it just seems like the media is saying horrible things about the movie. The mainstream media is saying horrible things about the movie. And the people that are seeing it are liking it. And it's just another example of the media and the people being totally in different worlds.
And the fact that we've also seen that Melania has not been on the cover of many of these fashion magazines, even though she is a fashion plate.
And Jill Biden was on a half a dozen times in her 4 years, and Melania's 5 years. she's been on zero.
And generally speaking, Jill Biden looked like she stole the upholstery off the couch. I mean, she was not model material. And up until Trump became a Republican, Melania was all over magazine covers.
TDS is a real thing.
It really is. It's sad because it interferes with rational government. You know.
Yeah. As a person, I think Trump has a lot of deficiencies, and I don't think I would be friends with him, but I love his policy.
Yeah. And we didn't elect a bar friend in chief.
Right.
We elected somebody to clean up the mess that was there.
Right. Well, think about when Obama came into the power, everybody was talking about they'd love to go have a beer with him.
And look at the mess he made.
Yeah.
And the calling him the divider in chief is not inaccurate.
No, but that was he was a community organizer, which a community organizer is not meant to get everybody to work together, but instead to create a diversion.
But here again, I want everybody to go back to education, because the media would not be getting away with all this stuff if in the schools, if with the kids were learning real history, if they were being taught to love their country instead of to hate their country. The division that is created in the education system has a lot to do with where we are now.
And it also has to do with the lack of in education, the lack of teaching critical thinking skills.
Or civics.
Yes. I mean, when we've taken the CCTA critical thinking skills.
That I flunked.
I mean, it was a lot harder than, you know, it was a lot harder than one would think. And to get past, what your brain, what your own little world says and look at something objectively is difficult.
And the world does not run on cliches.
Why not?
Well, you can look at any history book from the 50s and look at a history book now and see the discrepancies and the differences. And when you look at, say, slavery and what a divisive thing that was, mm-hmm. and look at the origins of slavery, and Matt Walsh has a special on right now about it. And one of the things he reports in it was that only what I think it was like 6%,
yeah,
was the number of slaves that came to the United States.
It was less than 4% of the Atlantic slave trade, just the Atlantic slave trade alone. Less than 4% came to the United States, and the tribe that was gathering these slaves, their entire economy was based on the millions of slaves that they had. And Matt Walsh went further and was able to explain, you can look at how well people were treated as slaves, because it existed everywhere in the world. There are no exceptions. You can look at the population growth of the slaves themselves. For example, the Eastern slave trade out of Ethiopia, they had over a 90% mortality rate, and they were not reproducing because they were treated so poorly. They were treated far worse than the Atlantic slave trade. But yet, it was only in America that the slaves actually reproduced in significant numbers, because they were treated better than anywhere else in the Atlantic slave trade. Now, does that condone the slavery? No. But it was us as a Western civilization that treated them more humane, ended the slavery. It was Western civilization that went to these African nations and destroyed these societies to stop this slavery. And we suffered millions of people around the world trying to stop this.
And compare that to the indentured servitude of the Irish
when they came over. And they were servants for 7 years, so there was no reason to keep them healthy. And a lot of them had a much rougher life than the slaves had. And then they were kicked out on the streets of Boston, where the stores had signs, Irish need not apply.
Here we go at just one more example of be careful about what you're learning in school. People need to look for themselves. Make up your own mind.
Yes.
Don't just accept as fact.
Do your own research.
Right.
Or even the Christian slaves in the on the boats of the Ottoman Empire. You literally were chained to this boat, and you never left, ever, from that seat.
Yeah.
For any reason.
That's right, yeah. And yes, you lived there, and then you died there. Yeah. So any last words from anyone?
Well, thank you, John, for coming and informing us.
Thank you for coming.
And my apologies to everybody for my putting in the let it snow break last week. And you have a great week. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, have a great week.